Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Burning Hearts. And today we continue our interview with Father Josh Fons from the Good News Cruise. Thanks for joining us.
So we're going to read here the first little chunk of Ephesians 2, but something that I want to say that was coming to mind as Father Josh was praying, and it goes along with that theme of God's Word being living and active, is even as we read this right now, as we're sitting here, as Father Josh is going to proclaim it over us and we're following along, this book, God's Word, it's the only book of its kind. You know, like other spiritual writings are really good. They can inspire us. They can help us grow closer to God. But as we read this, there's a spiritual reality that as God's Word comes upon our hearts, it's the only Word that has the power to transform us as we're hearing it. And so there's a way that Paul talks about that you've been given a new nature through your baptism, and then your journey as a Catholic is continuing to grow into the nature of Christ. And as we hear God's Word in a way that doesn't exist in any other writing, even amazing, beautiful writings of St. Thomas Aquinas, but in this book, because it's written by the Holy Spirit, that today, on February 12th, as you hear this Word proclaimed, as you read it, the Holy Spirit is actually changing you and then empowering you to live out the very Word that you will hear today. And so it's amazing. It's so simple. You're like, we just came here, we're sitting down for 30 minutes, and this is what God is doing to us and doing for us as we sit here. Mm-hmm. And even if it was just Father Josh and I sitting here with no one else, that the Holy Spirit would be transforming us and giving us everything we need to today live out this Word. Isn't that amazing? It's so powerful. It's incredible. So Father Josh, you want to just read? We're going to read a big chunk. Let's read 2:1-10, because it's like Paul's long run-on sentence.
And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive, together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. I said this yesterday. Every paragraph we've been reading every day, it's like we could spend an entire week on just the chunks that we're reading. Like, that is so rich. And I love that first step to just hear it and to digest it and just say, okay, thank you, Lord, for feeding us with this word. But Father Josh, just as we're starting, as we read that, was there anything just initially that the Holy Spirit was pressing on that was just jumping out to you as we read?
Just that continued contrast of being dead and then being alive. Like, that's something that the Lord has brought about in us, that he you made alive in that first line. And then as it goes into in verse 5, that even though you were dead, you've been, again, made us alive together with Christ. Mm-hmm. The revelation of where were we and where are we now, and what has the Lord done to bring us there, and what does he have for us then? What does this being alive actually mean? Yeah. What does it mean to be alive in Christ?
Yeah, that's so good. And the amount, too, that the Lord, that was something that the Lord was bringing up as we were reading it, just that contrast between dead and alive. And just thinking about the amount in my own life that the Lord has consistently been inviting me more and more almost every day into a grace of just meditating on the reality of what Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. And just the depths of that and how that never gets old. And sometimes we like move past the gospel. You know, we're like, okay, now we're so theological. You know, like we're so advanced in our faith that like Jesus dying on the cross for me and saving me from eternal death, like that's the small stuff. And now I'm moving on to like more theological, you know, understandings. And Jesus is like, The gospel isn't the beginning of Christianity. It's the whole thing, you know? Mm. And it just, as we were reading this, this reality that I think sometimes we can downplay sin to be like, oh, it harms us, or it's not that good for us, or it doesn't help us live our best life. And the reality, it's like Jesus doesn't make you better. He makes you alive. Mm. And to actually have the Holy Spirit continuing to convict me of that and give me just that grace of awe and wonder and gratitude of being like, Lord, you saved me from eternal death, you know?
Amen. Yeah, I think that's something I try to bring into as much of my preaching as I can, homilies on Sundays, that continue to come back to the gospel of mm-hmm. that where were we and where are we now? What has the Lord done? And that's the beautiful thing, though, about almost every passage in the scripture is somehow tied to that. I mean, it's all connected. Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about the scriptures. It's all one coherent whole of the revelation of who God is, who we are, who we are in relation to God, and what He's done for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all fits together. It's all this kind of beautiful tapestry of the Word of God. And so, yeah, as a priest, getting to preach that in so many ways and making that tangible in our lives and what that looks like, of that reality of, you know, the ways we experience being dead and the ways we experience being those kind of children of wrath, but then the ways we actually then can experience that rich mercy of God, that great love with which He loved us, as it talks about in here, and how that is, as you said, that is the gift of God to us. That's not something that we earned. It's not something we deserve, not something we can boast about that we have or think we're better than others because we have it and they don't, but it truly is this gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit on just going from that verse 1, which we just talked about, to verse 2, this reality? I was back at home, we do a Bible study during the week with high school girls, and we do one, you know, close to our old high school where Josh and I went across the street so that the girls can come at 6:30 and make it to school. And we just started one, you know, a little further away, and we just do 6:45 a.m. We get like 40 girls, you know, coming before school. It's amazing. And so the girl and I that are leading the new one that we just started going through with the Book of Ephesians.
How fun.
And we actually just this week did this passage, and they spent almost an hour on this second verse, you know, because I think this idea of following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience, and the reality that Jesus has come and brought His kingdom, but the world is still, until Jesus' second coming, in the hands of the devil, you know? And you think of when Jesus was tempted in the desert, the devil's like, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the earth. You know, that there's still some power that the devil has that's ruling over the earth. Can you just speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. That course of the world. Like just a couple days ago on the cruise, we had Father John Ricardo here, and in his homily he gave at Mass, talked about how the Christian life is like walking up a down escalator. It's that reality of, yes, the world, in a way, is always kind of moving against us. The world is always, maybe, to use a nautical analogy, it's always trying to maybe pull us out to sea or keep us away from where we're called to be. And that's the course of the world. That's the way it's going. But then that puts reality then that Christianity is always then going to be countercultural, even when it is in some ways maybe the ruling culture, maybe even in a time of Christendom, it still is countercultural, counter to this culture of the world that is trying to lead us toward death. That wide and easy road that leads to destruction versus the narrow way that leads to life. And the one of those we have to walk in. You don't get there accidentally. Or I think it was D.K. Chesterton that eloquently said that, and even a dead thing can go with the stream, but it takes a live thing to swim against it. Yeah. And so that reality that there's just this active nature to the Christian life, that we can't be passive Christians, but are called to actually engage and follow Jesus and walk with Him, plays out in so many different aspects of life, but it's that fundamental framework of understanding of how do we understand the Christian life, that it is fundamentally a battle, that it's something that we're struggling against, that it is a way in which we have to walk, that it has to be pursued.
And I think too, leaning in as we're doing that pursuit, I love that you said it's active, because I think and part of that action is the work of evangelization. And I think this convicts me so much of that, because if you think of the reality, and this is why putting our mind in scripture is so helpful, because we always want to continue to live in what is a biblical worldview? What is the worldview of God? How does God see the world? How does He see us? And we talked about being saved. We have a new nature through our baptism, but this reality that sounds kind of harsh. But for those who are not baptized, truly, before I was baptized, the Spirit at work in me was not a spirit of life, but actually a spirit of death. That there was actually a spirit of the power of the evil one, born as a child of wrath, that reigned over me and ruled my life. Mm. You know, when you look at the world, like, who thinks the world is in good shape? Like, the world is...
I mean, how many hands out there, huh?
Okay. Like, you look, I don't even want to look at the news. You know, all the crazy, corrupt, demonic powers that are at work, and it's so easy to, like, demonize people, but to remember there is a spirit of darkness. And I remember when I worked in DC too, there's a spirit of darkness, a power of death that is held onto the world, and we need to, as ones who have been saved only because of Jesus Christ, not because I'm like really good at getting like, you know, like I'm like, oh yeah, I get up and I throw out that power of darkness, but because Christ has saved me, that now we have a responsibility to enter into that battle for people to be like, I'm not demonizing you, but I want to follow the Holy Spirit so that this power of darkness can be dispelled in you. And so, like, just for Father Josh, for like the for us who are just sitting here, who are on this cruise, who are maybe going back in our lives, how do we enter? What are some practical ways that we can enter into that spiritual battle, that spiritual battle of the culture that we're seeing? Because we feel that. But anyone else just feel that power of darkness, you know? And to not get discouraged by it.
Yeah, I think as a priest, this is something I'm, you know, to continue to be renewed in. Because, yeah, you do, as a priest, experience different, you know, realities of the darkness of the world. It's actually one of the most beautiful parts about hearing confessions is seeing the light of Christ enter into the darkness of people's lives and those places of sin where they need that hope the light of Christ can actually overcome. And I think as you were talking about it, this, the renewal of our minds is so important. Of, do we actually view the world as Christ views the world? That was something I think the great Frank Sheed talked about in his book, Theology and Sanity, talked about how very few of us actually have Catholic minds. We don't actually view the world in a Catholic way, in a way that God sees it. We actually just have worldly minds with a few Catholic patches. We view most of the world like the rest of the world does. We have a few, we go to church on Sunday, or we... You know, we donate money to our church. We go on this Catholic cruise once a year, you know. We donate to Ave Maria Radio, so we're good. I mean, we're going to...
get the drink package.
Yeah, we get the drink package on the cruise, but we don't drink all 15 drinks. I mean, come on, we're not, you know. But do we actually have a Catholic view of the world? This was something I was talking about with Dr. Marcus Peters yesterday on his show. This reality of, do we see the spiritual realities as actually being more fundamental and foundational? Like, do we actually see the things that last, things that are eternal, as being the most important? Because too often the worldly perspective is, it's, can I pay my mortgage, and am I doing these kind of practical things that need to get done, and do I have all those in line? But where are our souls? Our souls actually being prepared for heaven? And in the context of, you know, parenthood or spiritual fatherhood, do I see every person I interact with, especially those entrusted to me, my own children, my parishioners, do I see the greatest good for them as actually being, are they ready for eternal life? Are they seeking heaven? Are they actually becoming fully alive in Christ? Or is it just about having their material needs provided for? Yeah. What do we actually see as being the deepest, most foundational realities? And is our mind renewed to seek after those and desire those more than we desire the things of this world?
Thanks so much for joining us on this interview with Father Josh Fons from the Good News Cruise. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up these conversations.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.